Hear that? You are listening to the takeoff of a radio-controlled plane in a grassy field filled with hobbyists showing off their home-built aircraft. Radio-controlled planes have been around for a long time, but with the addition of miniaturized cameras and advanced sensors, GPS tracking, and weapons payloads, even stealth technology, the whole model airplane enterprise begins to look more like a global arms race. The military's predator drone world, okay, call them UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, it's colliding with the radio-controlled hobbyists in a private sector opportunity for entrepreneurs to create drone applications that go far beyond simple and deadly military applications. Back in February, President Obama signed a funding bill for the Federal Aviation Administration mandating that it create new permissive regulations for domestic UAVs. Are the floodgates about to be opened for a domestic drone fleet to take flight above us all? Joining us now is John Villasenor, senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a professor of electrical engineering at UCLA. John, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Also with us is entrepreneur Charles Easterling, founder and CEO of Crescent Unmanned Systems, which manufactures UAVs for law enforcement purposes. Charles, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So, John, describe first, how disruptive is this drone technology as it leaves the military shelf and appears to proliferate in the private sector?
Yeah, it's very important. Maybe one quick clarification.
Sure.
Model aircraft are not properly considered drones. They're flown largely within the visual line of sight in the presence of an operator who watches and maintains control of the aircraft during the flight. And so that really places model airplanes cleanly outside the boundaries of drone, however it's defined.
Let me just push back on you there. The sentiment, though, to create your own, to take off-the-shelf technology and to hack greater and greater capability, as the hobbyists like to do, is an opportunity, even if it is a difficult technological exercise hobbyists.
I absolutely would agree with you that hobbyists, the hobbyist community with respect to drones or UAVs, unmanned aerial vehicles, is extremely important. Absolutely. I would not deny at all that there is a significant, extremely innovative, very active UAV hobbyist community. Absolutely. But that is a different community the traditional model airplane community. But to your question, it's an absolutely disruptive. This is a fundamental change to aviation. It's a really revolutionary, and unmanned aerial vehicles are coming in larger and larger numbers to the United States, and that in general is a really beneficial thing. They've got a lot of great opportunities. Although we have to be honest and acknowledge that there are some concerns, especially with respect to privacy, that need to be addressed as well.
All right. Well, we will address those in the next couple of minutes. But I suspect what John Villasenor at Brookings is saying, Charles Easterling, is music to your ears.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I agree with a number of things that John is saying. As a manufacturer of unmanned systems, we've seen a considerable amount of hobbyists adding to and creating technology that really advances what it is that we're doing. So one of the things that we try to do is make sure that our end users, when we start to put these types of devices in their hands, that they open up a level of transparency when they get these devices in their hands and really let the public know what it is that the capabilities are and what they're capable of doing.
Well, let's just try to be consumer friendly here on this information. I mean, what are we going to start seeing, Charles? Are we going to start seeing my neighbor, bombing and strafing my pets with a drone? I mean, these technologies run the gamut. I mean, it could be aerial surveillance, it could be traffic patterns. Honey, send up the drone and tell me what the traffic is like at the Holland Tunnel, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. I think that it's important to understand where the technology is right now and what the capabilities are that are readily available to people who would consider themselves hobbyists, and then the end users who would be using it for the types of applications like intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, or even things such as monitoring coastal erosion, which is happening here in Louisiana as we speak. There's a lot of limitations to the technology as it exists. We're right at the precipice. We're at the beginning of this technology, introducing it into the air. I like to say that we're in the Wright brother phase. So there are limitations to the technology that we'll see domestically. It's not going to be that same advanced predator drone type technology that's going to be opening up in the skies.
John Villasenor, let's get a comment from you. What excites you most and worries you most about the proliferation?
So on the positive side, I mean, for example, there are many police departments in this country that are simply too small to have the budgets to afford their own manned helicopter. Those departments will soon be able to buy and use much less expensive UAVs, and you can imagine those things can acquire genuinely life-saving imagery if they're put up in the air, for example, above a hostage situation to allow the police police force to get an overhead view of what's going on. And for search and rescue, you can imagine if there was a Fukushima Japan-style nuclear reactor disaster. Obviously, I hope it never happens, but if it does happen in this country, the ability to send UAVs in to get close-in imagery could be absolutely vital. So there's really a long list of extremely beneficial applications. These things will save lives. The other important thing to say is that even though some of the armed drones in the military make headlines, the overwhelming majority of the UAVs the military uses aren't armed at all. And, of course, in this country, one would hope that none of them will be. So the image of tying UAVs to arms is really not something that I think we're going to have a big concern about.
Glad to hear you say that, John.
But in terms of worries, I think the privacy, the current legal framework for what you can and cannot observe from the air is, in my view, not sufficiently protective once we have a world where UAVs are plentiful and cheap.
John Villasenor is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution and a professor of electrical engineering at UCLA. Charles Easterling, are we the OPEC, the Saudi Arabia of UAVs at this point?
Well, I think that UAV technology, the United States is definitely leading the pack. I would really like to think that we will be one day one of the world's leaders in UAV technology, especially when it comes to these small unmanned aerial systems. There's a lot of interest domestically and internationally. So we're hoping that we can create technology that will help the world.
A bright beginning, a Wright brother beginning, says Charles Easterling, to a future for UAVs that come with a lot of worries as well as excitement. Charles Easterling is founder and CEO of Crescent Unmanned Systems, which manufactures unmanned aerial drones. Charles and John, thanks so much.
Thank you.